Mutual UFO Reporting Network has been in existence for about 40 years. A little over 100 days ago, this organization started their STAR Team Investigations Unit, a rapid response team ready at a moment's notice when a major UFO sighting or incident is reported. They are ready to investigate.
Is that northwest of Detroit that you see that light?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I saw, a real bright white light, sometimes flickering underneath the clouds.
Oh, this is what I saw.
Air Shuttle 5959, is that traffic that you saw earlier, did you see him out there any longer?
That is Shuttle 5959, and that's permanent, and it's a light that kind of, it goes dim and it gets bright. I don't know if we'll get closer to it or what, but it looks like a rotating light around it, like a frisbee type thing, and it's going around it.
So, Mustafa 3179, do you see the same thing?
Sir, I saw it coming out of Detroit. I wondered, all that I saw was just a couple real bright flashes of light, and it almost looked like lightning, and it caught my eye, and then I kept watching it, and then it looked a little bit less bright, but it looked like it was underneath the cloud deck to me, and this is just as we were coming out of Detroit.
Yeah, hey, just to keep this advised, we're descending to 4,000 feet right now, and as we descend to 10,000 feet, that object is above us right now. It is not on the ground. It's about 10,000 feet.
We're checking on it right now. I still don't have anything out in front of you at all that I'm showing it. I appreciate you coming back to the frequency and let me know.
I'll keep it right. I'll tell you what, that is weird. If you're sitting up all day.
Mustafa 3179, when you flashed your lights, did you get any response?
Didn't appear to, sir.
Okay.
That was an actual recording of an incident involving the air control operations at Cleveland, Ohio. For years, these lights in the sky would get investigated on a more or less casual basis. But now, using the latest technology, MUFON's STAR Team is doing some amazing investigations into close encounters, abduction reports, mysterious beings in the night. These investigations occur almost instantly. You have heard a lot about MUFON over the past weeks on this show, and we thought it was time to reveal exactly what is happening with their fast-track investigations unit, known as the STAR Team. On the line from Memphis, Tennessee, we have Chase Klotsky. She's Deputy Director of Investigations and STAR Team Manager for MUFON. Chase, welcome to the show, and how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Chase, let's get right to it. You're the STAR Team Manager for MUFON, and explain to our audience exactly what the STAR Team is.
Well, the STAR Team project is a rapid response and deployment strategy that basically targets high-value investigations. We typically accept the most experienced forensic-minded volunteers in MUFON. We also have team specialists that assist in things like laboratory and photo analysis, aviation, artifact recovery. We also have designed four STAR team to identify certain cases and events that are national, a system called MATCON, and that stands for MUFON Activity Condition. So we have a MATCON administrator, and I also have one CMS administrator who has actually been with me since day one. And we investigate the most complicated and high-profile cases that are reported to us through our case management system.
Chase, do you physically go to these cases, or are you just administrative? I mean, assign people?
Basically, kind of oversee and organize the investigations. As I don't physically go there. I'd love to. That would be great, but I'm not necessary. I'm more the organizer. So it's my job to identify when we have these Category 3s or STAR Team triggers that kind of complicate some of the cases, and from there, I contact the state directors, and I mostly work with them. The state directors are probably the biggest role in the STAR Team deployment and the greatest asset because of their logistics, information and knowledge of the state.
So these reports that the state directors are not involved, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's absolutely wrong. And the state directors are my main point of contact. I very rarely talk to the investigators unless the state director chooses that to happen. But it's their choice. So if we have a case that comes up and I contact the state director, and, you know, life happens. You know, they may have jobs or other responsibilities, family matters at the moment, and they direct me to what we call a STAR team coordinator in their state, then that would be my direct point of contact. But the state directors completely run all events in their state as to even who I talk to as far as coordination. Absolutely.
Chase, when did the STAR team concept come into existence? I mean, it actually, started.
We launched, believe it or not, October 15th, and it's growing so fast, and things are happening so fast, and the information revealed from STAR team has been so significant, it's kind of hard to believe we're barely 100 days old. It really is. I feel like I've been doing this for quite some time, but... we've only been launched since October, yes.
You told me in an email that you had 9 cases recently, and I guess 3 of those have been solved already?
Some of them have. We typically report, the most sensational, of course, you know, the big events that are yielding information that, you know, ufologists and other people are interested in. We have several cases going on, but usually, you know, like everyone else knows, when you're investigating, you have to chase 100 to get that one. And we are getting that one, but we're also chasing the other 99. So we are a very busy team. And we now, I believe, are on 5 full activated events. We are constructing conclusions on 2. And we have a possible on the table this morning. So we're very busy.
So literally, you're getting new cases almost every day.
Yes. MUFON averages a little over 500 cases a month.
Well, what would trigger the STAR team? I mean, what kind of cases gets your
attention? The first trigger is absolutely any witness that is reporting physical effects, physical evidence, anything left behind is definitely a STAR team trigger. Usually large events, things when we start seeing things develop into flaps, there's just anything that's a little more complicated that would require some sort of specialty involved with, you know, just a plain investigation. Definitely.
Before the show's over, I want to get into some specific cases if we can. But first of all, I guess let's talk about the STAR team objective for MUFON. I guess it would be to have these STAR teams in every state, maybe more than one in each state.
Yes, that's exactly our goal. In MUFON, to be a field investigator, you go through the training program that involves the field manual, and you take a test. And once you're completed with that training, you kind of start out basic, get used to our CMS and you know, the ethics behind investigating. And once you get your feet on the ground, you just get more experience with more cases. The STAR team takes the most experienced, and we're also looking for forensic-minded investigators. Now, if somebody, you know, with a police background or military background or already comes to us with a specialty, they can apply for the STAR team, and if qualified, absolutely, they're put right on. But our goal is 50 states, and that is happening very quickly. There's so much talent in MUFON, it's kind of easy to fulfill this goal pretty quickly.
Chase, in a previous interview with Clifford Cliff, the international director, he spoke highly of you. I think it would be appropriate if we told our audience, maybe flesh out a little bit about you. What do you think? Tell us about yourself.
I got this job. I just applied. An email went out, I believe, to everybody stating that they were looking for a new STAR team manager, and At the time, I'm a field investigator. I've never held a state position or anything. I've always been a journal subscriber or a field investigator, and I just realized I had time to invest, and I really, really wanted to have more responsibility and to do more in MUFON, so I applied for it. I felt I had good organizational skills, and of course, you know, been around the military basically my whole adult life.
I know your husband. He's in the Navy.
And I also work for the Department of Defense as a civilian, as a master trainer, master instructor, and I specialized in active duty readiness.
And what does that mean?
That is, we got them ready for whatever, I guess, their next step was. I worked with the dive teams. I've worked with SEAL teams, Marines, before they went to CQB. We physically got them ready, physically and mentally ready for, you know, strenuous schools. If they were going to dive school, it's a very strenuous activity. So we made sure they were physically able to complete whatever assignment they were given, whether it was training, full deployment. It was my job to get them to that level of readiness.
How long have you been interested in UFOs?
Pretty much my whole life. I joined MUFON in 1996. We, being a, you know, military spouse, I haven't always been able to keep up and in the loop in MUFON. We travel all over the world and have been overseas, and so it hasn't always been easy to keep up. But, you know, I did maintain, you know, through books and internet and, you know, very fascinated with it. And when we got back to the States, realized I have to do this. So I got my field investigator certification and have been pursuing it ever since. You know, it kind of depends on where you live and how involved the state directors are as far as meetings and things like that on, you know, the information you get. But I honestly have been a big fan of what MUFON does for many, many years, and I feel very, very fortunate that I get to do this job now.
I understand you're originally from New England, but you're in Tennessee right now, near Memphis?
Right outside of Memphis in a town called Millington. My husband is still active duty. He has 24 years in. He's a submarine officer, and I know the first question going through everyone's mind right now is, what's a submariner doing in Tennessee? But, we're here on a shore duty, and he's a detailer, so that's where we are right now, temporarily. We have about another year left, and who knows what's next.
So the Department of the Navy does not mind a major submarine officer, high-ranking officer, to be... to have his wife involved in UFOs?
Jerry, I seriously have to tell you, I had some concerns about that, and I've heard nothing. He's heard nothing.
Okay.
You know, especially being the star team manager. We've had no problems at all. As a matter of fact, the interest that I get from even other wives and other active duty, they just think it's great. They're always asking questions. We go to functions, and as a matter of fact, my neighbor... her husband's a Navy pilot, and she just got her field investigator certification. The interest is just phenomenal. It's growing. People are excited. The giggle effect when you say UFO is leaving, you know, especially in social arenas. I will admit that hopefully I could continue to do this, but honestly, we have not heard anything about it so far. And
I just brought that up because we all have heard the stories that the Navy is the lead agency investigating UFOs, not the Air Force. I mean, you know, that's scuttlebutt around.
And I understand that. I absolutely do. I can tell you...
You haven't had any problems with the Navy at all about it. I want to understand this completely now, Chase, about your UFO interest. I mean, have you seen UFOs?
No. Just always had a fascination, and I think it probably started with TV shows as a kid. And I don't know if the first realization of UFOs came from a movie or, you know, there was always a little bit of the scare factor, but, you know, as I grew, I just became more and more interested. And, of course, books. I remember at 16 reading Chariot of the Gods and, You know, so very fascinated from a very young age. It's just always kind of been with me, but I hadn't seen a UFO that I would consider, you know, something very unexplained that I've witnessed with my own eyes until last year.
And what happened last year?
Last year we had a case in Middle Tennessee, and I was out there with a secondary field investigator, and we did witness a very, very large triangle that flew directly over our heads. There were many lights in the sky. We were out there seeing all of this, and actually throughout the evening there were several incidences for us to witness all sorts of...
Yeah, in a previous interview, Clifford Cliff and I talked about that a little bit, but let's hear from you. You're the first-hand source here.
Yes, that's exactly the case that happened. It was...
Yeah, a close encounter with a 3.5-foot ET. You have to tell us about it.
Haunting. I'm not even going to lie. We had... this feeling as I'm experiencing some equipment failure, and I'm trying to figure out the batteries and reloading this stuff. I thought I had a battery drain, which wasn't true. Just everything was frozen and not working. But our batteries had come back online, but I had decided to put fresh batteries into a few of the key pieces of equipment I had out there. And as we were working on that, you know, just this overwhelming sense of fear, and it's just something I've never ever experienced before, and it was like the whole body. It was terrifying. And
so this feeling of fear was much more than just foreboding.
Absolutely it was. And I remember turning to the witness and the other MUFON investigator and saying, does anybody else feel like you're being watched? And I don't mean from up there, but being observed from here. And it was just a few quick moments after that for some odd reason, nobody said run, nobody said anything. We just knew to get out of there. We all three just turned and ran. It was after we started running, the witness had this large flashlight in his left hand, and we kind of had to turn to where the truck was because we're in the middle of this 60-acre cornfield. I mean, it was just... this big open space. And as he turned, the flashlight beam kind of swept across the field, and he stopped and said, you know, what the blank was that? And he turned the flashlight back, and we were running so fast at that point, he had stopped so suddenly, I actually ran into him, and I stopped behind him, and my eyes also went to where he had landed, and that light landed flat on this little being that was just there. It felt a lot longer than that, but mm-hmm. It was really just that 1/1002. We just ran after that.
What did it look like?
I have to tell you, I was very shocked because, you know, everything that we read and all the research that I've done and been involved in, it wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to look like. It didn't have those big almond eyes. I call it the cute little Roswell alien. That's not what I saw at all. 3.5 foot, had that gray appearance. It didn't look like it was...
Chase, I need to let the audience know that we have some construction going on here at our studio. And so there'll be some noise in the background. So we're getting interrupted. And not by the government, it's by carpenters. Now go ahead, tell us a little bit. It did not look like the regular gray.
It just didn't move. There was no reaction from this at all. Not a twitch in a finger, or, you know, it was just completely stoic and almost mechanical. However, it was clearly biological. The eyes were kind of more human-like than, you know, the typical, mm-hmm. you know, dark, large almond shape. And I was stunned by the appearance, actually, because it wasn't anything that I expected it to look like. If you're going to see a being, that's kind of my first thing was stunned. The other thing that stood out, I remember the legs being so frail, so twig-like, I was actually shocked at how they even worked and held up the rest of his body. I don't know if that was how the beam hit, the beam of light hit. Obviously, I'm kind of haunted with a million questions. Why was it there? Was it trying to contact us? Was this being responsible for the fear we felt? How did it get there? You know, a million questions.
So this 3.5-foot creature did not make any noise.
No, and this is something that this happened right after the Tennessee floods, and we were wiped out on the military base. You know, here in Millington, there were 6 to 8 feet of water here, and you know, we evacuated, and you know, Nashville was devastated, and the water had just receded. So, you know, this wasn't, you know, just really dried up, you know, farmland or you know, anything like that. It was nice, moist soil. When we left the scene and left the cornfield, it was. We were back in the field within 30 minutes. It's almost as though the further away we got from the cornfield, the more that feeling went away. And, of course, reality starts coming in, and I had to get back in the field because now I'm convinced we have evidence. You know, we saw a being, and I want the footprints. I want to go out and find it. Is it still there? You know, there was all these things going through, so we were very anxious to get back out into that field.
Any footprints?
No, we found nothing. I found all of ours. I found the tire tracks. We grid searched. There was nothing. I was very frustrated.
Chase, with no footprints and no record of anything, what do you think? I mean, was it some sort of mass hypnosis, or do you think it was real?
That I can't answer. What I can tell you is that what happened was real. What I saw was real. Whether I was made to see it or not, I have no information on that. I mean, I just, you know, it was a real event. It was something that had been reported to us previously. The witness is extremely credible, a very high-profile professional family, and there were many witnesses. We had 7 witnesses, you know, to these events. Yeah, I'm not sure, Jerry, you know, how it got there, why. It's that being has brought up more questions than, unfortunately, I could answer as a field investigator.
Yeah, I understand.
It's frustrating. And to this day, that area continues to have activity, so we're still watching very closely.
Have there been other incidents investigated by the STAR team like this, similar to this?
Oh, yes, we have. Many cases that are producing the kind of results that this team was designed for. Our main goal in the STAR team is evidence. My goal is to give MUFON something, whether it's the photo, the piece of evidence, the footprint, the proof. That's what all ufologists are looking for and studying through, and why I'll chase 99 in hopes to get that one. It's just kind of what we do, and that is our job. We do have several other cases that are going on. And, of course, the STAR team just doesn't deal with what I call the rock and roll cases, where we can go in and grab evidence. We also deal with abductees and experiencers, and we have very highly trained professionals that, you know exactly how to help our witnesses, you know. It's very common for a field investigator to bond somehow and to identify and actually even become friends with witnesses because you're included in extraordinary events.
You know, Chase, in business, location, 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 that's the byword. And in investigations and UFO shows I've done over the years, I've always paid particular attention to geography. And you've been at it for 100 days now. Is there something going on in a certain area? I mean, are there hot spots? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that's actually identified by our MATCON program. And again, MATCON stands for MUFON Activity Condition. What I noticed was we don't have dispatchers. you know, we don't have teams that sit and, you know, sort through the reports. What happened was when we started the team, I was very fortunate that Sandy Gonzalez had offered to be the STAR team CMS administrator. So every report that comes to MUFON, he kind of goes through and does the categorization with the valet classification. So we have category 1, 2, and 3 cases. He alerts me of every category 2 and 3, and then I go in and study the cases and triage to see when it's appropriate to activate the STAR team. Most recently, we designed a program, this MATCON, and what that does is it helps us to monitor and evaluate events. So all reports are viewed, and then we systematically organize them to reveal important information, such as cluster sightings, flaps, or even vigorous activities. We also kind of target and track to help identify objects that are known to a certain area, such as a military base. With the technology of drones and even special projects, we need to be better identify what's normal for that area and what would not be considered normal, because we do know that it has been reported and studied that UFOs are interested in nuclear sites, airports, military bases. So we do have a specific position that tracks just those specific areas and is working on research on identifying what we call normal events and other than normal. It's a pretty decent program. It's yielding all sorts of information that we kind of didn't expect. It's an amazing program.
We have another half hour to go with this interview with Chase Klotsky, who is in charge of the START team investigations for MUFON.